Sie wird in Ihrem Vortrag, der auf Englisch gehalten wird, der Frage nachgehen, welche Lenkungseffekte haben Umweltsteuern auf Klimagerechtigkeit?
Thank you very much, first of all, for the invitation to the organisers. It's a pleasure to be here. I feel like I have a very difficult position because I'm coming after two really excellent presentations from Helga Kromkolb and Jana Berchtold, and I'm just before the break, so it's a very, very tricky point in the afternoon. But what I'd like to do is to draw together here some ideas about climate justice and environmental taxation, especially carbon taxation, and think about how we might be able to explore some solutions to the problems that we face. And I think carbon taxes can be at least part of that solution. So this is based on a report that I wrote with Tatiana Falcao for the Vienna Institute for International Dialogue and Cooperation, VIDC, in 2018. There are some executive summaries if people would like to take a look on the table outside. And what this report looked at was equity impact of environmental taxes in the context of low and middle income countries, so developing countries, so-called. It explored the potential for environmental taxes to safeguard environmental quality without jeopardizing social equity, and indeed explored ways in which environmental taxes could improve social equity. It had a theoretical section that looked at legal and economic aspects, and it had a literature review as well, which kind of tried to generalize what was already out there and draw all those conclusions together. So what I'd like to talk about, the slides have slipped again to one side. I don't know if we can straighten them out so that people can see. The other way. I'll carry on, and maybe we can, I think it'll be helpful if you can read it. But so the one thing that I'd like to highlight is when we talk about climate justice and inequality, we need to be clear what we're talking about. What do we actually mean when we talk about inequality and these topics? So the first thing that we've already heard a lot about and that I'll talk about as well is inequality of contributions to pollution. So we know that some groups are making much greater contributions to greenhouse gas emissions than others. I'd also like to talk about inequality of exposure to the impacts of climate change and environmental degradation. That's another aspect of inequality, another dimension that we need to think about. We've actually also heard something about the third dimension that I'd like to touch on, which is inequality of representation and policy making, which is really key to the way that decisions are made. And finally, to talk about inequality of outcomes resulting from environmental taxation, which is what I'll talk about for the second half of my presentation. But I thought it would be interesting just to put some numbers on the screen. I don't know how many people will be familiar with these, looking at the inequality of contributions worldwide. So these two charts show emissions per capita by income category in tons of CO2 equivalent. And the chart on the left shows annual incomes per capita by wealth group. Okay, so you can see you've got the bottom 50%, which are emitting actually around 1.4 tons of CO2 equivalent per capita per year. We've got the middle 40% emitting around 6 tons on average per capita per year, and the top 10%, okay, the wealthiest 10% of people on Earth, emitting 29 tons of CO2 per capita per year, so that's per person. And then on the right, you have the top 1%, okay, of the world population emitting a really incredible 101 tons of CO2 equivalent per person per year, okay? So we can see this is incredible levels of injustice and climate unfairness, okay? And on the right, we can see the share of the world total, and that shows a similar pattern. So we can see, again, the top 1%, if we look at this orange column there, it's about 70% of all emissions are the top 1% of people living on the planet. Okay, and the top 10% are responsible for nearly 50. Okay, so these are really big, important numbers. And you can identify these trends all over the world. I've got another slide later that really breaks it down by region. But this is a very important aspect of climate justice when we talk about. We need to be very conscious, I think, of the differentiation in wealth of what people are emitting. The next slide I will talk about very quickly because we heard a lot about this in the first presentation, but just about the inequality of exposure to climate risk. This just shows the Global Climate Risk Index, which looks at level of exposure and vulnerability to climate change events. It doesn't take into account slow onset processes, and it doesn't take into account indirect losses. So, for example, things like droughts and food shortages, which is why Africa comes off better there than if those aspects are included. But I think what it does show is that we can really see that we're not all equally exposed to climate hazards. And there are some statistics there on the right about the way that economic damages will be distributed and the way that the impacts on the poorest in the world will be the worst. But I won't say too much more because we've heard quite a lot about this as well. But what I would also like to emphasise is inequality of representation, which we've also, of course, talked about in the last presentation. We're not only talking about parliamentarians coming from a certain elite, of course, they do, but that's only part of the problem. We can see that we've got to reflect on a much broader understanding of representation. Who is being heard and who is not? Where's the agenda being set? Are we hearing from local political action? Are we hearing about civil society, the views of trade unions, other lobby groups? Who is actually being represented? Because, of course, this has quite a large influence on the kind of politics that are then made. We can see that this inequality of representation tends to lead to policies that protect higher income groups, particularly actually in low and middle income countries. There's been interesting work done on the level of representation between poorer and wealthier groups in society and what effects that has on the kind of environmental and climate policies that are implemented. If we don't incorporate marginalised groups in decision-making, we can see that that's also having implications for the environmental effectiveness of policies, because very often where communities are very closely linked to the management of natural resources with ecosystem services, they also understand best how to preserve those resources and how to manage them sustainably. And this concern about uneven power relations, some researchers argue that this is even more important than exposure and sensitivity to climate hazards, is this problem of lack of representation and uneven power relations, which make the poor and disadvantaged more vulnerable than affluent, privileged and powerful groups. And interestingly enough, this last finding comes from working papers done by the World Bank. So this is not a very out there NGO coming to these conclusions. This is really the mainstream of development thinking. So to the second part of my presentation and the fourth dimension of inequality that I'd like to touch on is really outcomes of environmental taxes. And first of all, I'd like to explain why social equity impacts are so hotly debated and why it's something that I spend a lot of my time researching on and working on in low and middle income countries, is because one of the ways that a carbon tax works or an environmental tax works is it's indirect. So it doesn't tax an income of somebody. It taxes a product, a good or a service that the people then consume or use. And these kind of taxes tend to be regressive. They tend to have a disproportionate burden on people who are on lower incomes than, say, a tax would have if it was a tax on income. So this is the starting point that makes environmental taxes something that that are quite hotly discussed, particularly in the context of carbon taxes. I suppose most people here have heard comments about some of the problems that we might have with carbon taxes is that they will have a detrimental impact on the poorer groups in society. And I'll try and take that apart a bit over the next few slides, but just to make it clear that these kind of concerns are something that have acted as an obstacle and a barrier in the past for implementing environmental taxes and climate taxes. and they're really something that can hamper discussions about the political feasibility of implementing these kinds of reforms. I've got a list of challenges that we face when we are trying to understand equity impacts. They're quite technical, but maybe just to emphasise on the first one, quite often we don't try and understand the impacts of taxes over time or of policies in general, and people don't respond statically but dynamically to different changes in prices. So that's something that would need to be improved in terms of research, and something that makes it hard to understand equity impacts. We need to understand that impacts are not even, either between income groups or within one income group. So both horizontally and vertically, we have to try and understand how these impacts of particular measures are affecting different people. We have lots of overlapping dimensions of inequality, which mean that it's more difficult to understand the kind of challenges that people might face. And we also have to think about indirect impacts, which is things like impacts on prices, for example. This is a summary of the findings of the study. I don't want to go through this whole slide. You can read the executive summary outside, or even read the full version online. But maybe just to emphasise, some of the things that we found are that taxes on stationary energy use, so that's carbon taxes on fossil fuels, used for power generation or for households, they tend to be. There are lots of studies that show that they're regressive, that they have a disproportionate impact on lower income groups, particularly in high income countries. But when you look at mobile energy use and transport, there's a lot of evidence that they can be positive, that they can drive more equal tax distributions, that they can meet some of our requirements for implementing a more fair and just tax system. So this is something to reflect on when we're thinking about carbon taxes. Already we can see there's not that simple divide between a carbon tax is regressive. That's something that you can't say. It very much depends what the carbon tax is on. And what it also depends on, of course, is what you then do with that. But I want to show you some very interesting findings as well from a study implemented by the Mercator Research Institute on Global Commons and Climate Change. This was actually came out after the publication that I referred to before, A Climate of Fairness. And what Mercator did was look at how households spent on energy and tried to understand how they spent on energy and particular fossil energy-related carbon data from the countries to understand the impact of a $30 carbon tax in countries with per capita incomes of less than $15,000. And the important thing to understand about this graph is if you look at the colour coding, you can see that anything under one, so all the green, these are countries where the impact of the carbon tax would be positive in terms of social equity. There would be a lower burden on lower income groups than there would be on higher income groups. So actually this is a really important finding. What this shows is in many, many countries, we can use carbon taxes as a way of realising enhanced climate justice. And if we think back to the graphs that I showed at the start of the presentation, I think it's also very obvious that there's potential there to put a price on those very high carbon emissions from the wealthiest in our society, and to realise climate justice in that way, to find a fair way to raise finance for climate change. But coming back to here, we can really see why carbon taxes can be a tool of climate justice. This is, a graph from the Climate Inequality Report from 2023. And this shows, similarly to the other ones, this shows the top 10% in orange, and then the middle 40% and the bottom 50%. And this, again, looks at carbon footprint by income group. And this looks at each region of the world, so this is broken down regionally. And we can see the pattern that I showed at the start is very much the case whether you're in North America, which has by far the highest bar there, the orange bar, or whether you're looking at the distribution in sub-Saharan Africa or in East Asia, for example, we can see that the wealthiest 10% are really emitting proportionally substantially more CO2 than other income groups. And it shows us that this climate fairness discussion that we have, we often talk about it in the context of high-income countries are emitting and low-income countries or middle-income countries are not. But what we see here is actually a more complex picture. We see that wealthy income groups, wherever they are in the world, are emitting high levels of CO2. And therefore, there's an argument also in those countries to be targeting those high emitters, for example, with a carbon tax or another mechanism to bring about some form of climate justice, if you like, to raise finance for climate action. Perhaps one more comment on this slide would be to talk very quickly about the polluter pays principle, which is a really established principle of economic policy. And if we look at these kind of statistics, this is also very obvious that there's a strong argument for the polluter pays principle in these kind of cases where we don't have a very strong... We have an equity concern and we have to address it because we still have to be very careful about what happens to the price of carbon for these this poorest 50%. But nevertheless, we can see that there's a strong argument for putting a price on emissions and addressing this problem of extremely high pollution from high polluters. Okay. Really, the absolute key to being able to use carbon taxes in this way is to be able to understand equity impacts and address them effectively. And on the left there, it just shows a hierarchy of how that can be done from real transformational change solutions through to solutions that can deliver co-benefits, win-win solutions for countries where, for example, poor households are given an opportunity to use clean stoves and therefore to shift them away from using biomass, for example. They're still being compensated for a change in price, but they're not... being compensated only with a cash transfer, but there's also an environmental benefit to that compensation. But also, of course, you can have measures that are just safeguarding, that are cash transfers, that are just ensuring that the poorest are protected socially from the difference in price due to a carbon tax. And if possible, it's important that these measures are targeted, and that's what the pie chart on the right shows. So the distribution of average subsidy benefits in developing countries is shown there. And again, we can see, because the wealthiest 20% in society are emitting much more CO2, they're consuming much higher levels of fossil fuels, they're also capturing subsidy benefits, 45% of them. So the wealthiest 20% get almost half of the subsidy benefits in those countries that subsidize diesel, coal, gasoline. Okay, so that's why it's important to target measures if we can. We don't want to compensate everybody, but sometimes it might be necessary to do so. Okay, so I'm on my key messages now. just some takeaways from my perspective. On the one hand, I wanted just to highlight, perhaps, some of the advantages of environmental taxes for low and middle-income countries. So aside from, I think, a really important factor that they can foster improved outcomes for lower-income households because of the impact they can have on environmental improvement, they can also enhance fiscal governance by boosting tax morale. They're actually very difficult to evade, which makes them quite good taxes to use in a low middle income country context where there are lots of governance challenges. Administration of taxation isn't always easy by any means. They can mobilize additional revenue, as I've been talking about, for climate finance to compensate poorer and more vulnerable people in society as well. And we can really use instruments to mitigate negative equity impacts. So the question is, what do we do internationally? And this is my last slide, so I'm very much done. In my view, it'd be really important to explore some international cooperation on this idea to see where we can go. There've been some suggestions made by the Climate Inequality Lab on levies on shipping and aviation, And they calculated they could raise as much as $392 billion a year if all countries who were signatory to the Paris Agreement participated. Something like a multilateral carbon tax treaty, having tax rates in line with different countries' responsibilities for the climate change, with the ability of the populations to pay for a carbon tax, might be a possible way to go. There could be something like the harmonization of carbon pricing between smaller groups of countries. The G20 famously emits between 70 and 80% of all greenhouse gas emissions. So if we were to involve all G20 countries in a carbon tax, that might be something that would bring us a long way towards tackling some of the climate fairness and climate justice issues that we face. I put in brackets there, redesign the CBAM, that's the carbon border adjustment mechanism that the European Union is going to bring into force by 2026, and of which we can discuss it later, but of which in its current form I'm quite critical. I'm happy to share more thoughts on that at a later stage. Or perhaps the last thing, after what we've seen in terms of the inequalities of emissions, whether there'd be a case for having wealth taxes for climate finance, simply using a global tax on wealth to implement additional climate financing. And there's a group at the United Nations at the moment within the tax committee that's really looking at these kinds of issues. So that might be quite a watch this space for the future. So thank you very much for your attention. There are my contact details there if you want to scribble anything down. I really look forward to our discussion later on. Yeah, thank you.
Vielen Dank, Frau Jacqueline-Cottrell. Ich kann mir vorstellen, die Frage Reichensteuer für Klimagerechtigkeit, da könnten wir gut nach der Pause dann bei der Podiumsdiskussion diskutieren. Jetzt habe ich die nette Aufgabe, Sie euch zu Kaffee und Kuchen einzuladen und wenige von euch vielleicht auch auf eine Reise in den Senegal bei der Ausstellung. Wir treffen uns wieder.